A Matter of Spirit, a quarterly publication of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center, Winter 2011 issue. IPJC celebrates its 20th anniversary. The Vision Presses On to Fulfillment by Linda Haydock, SNJM. Linda Haydock is a Sister of the Holy Names of Jesus and Mary and Executive Director of IPJC. As darkness fell on January 14, 1991, over 30,000 women, men, and children formed a prayerful candlelight procession from St. James Cathedral to St. Mark's Cathedral in Seattle. It was a contemplative walk of awe, wonder, and hope to avert war and bring peace to our world. The next day, when the Persian Gulf War was launched, a profound sadness permeated us. The prophet Habakkuk called out, "How long, O God, can I cry for help, but you do not listen? I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene." In the midst of war, poverty, economic disparity, and a planet in peril, we cry out, "How long, O God?" Then God answered me and said, "Write down the vision clearly on the tablets, so that one can read it readily." For over 150 years, women and men religious in the Northwest, responding to God's call, had written and lived a vision. In 1991, the leadership of these communities came together and asked, "What are the needs of our day that we can address together that we cannot do alone?" The dawning of this new vision was to be distinguished by collaboration, building community, and creating change for a just and peaceful world and church. The vision of the sponsoring communities was a clear call to common action, to magnify our voices, be effective in our witness, and respond to the cries of the poor. The Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center was born of this vision. Today, IPJC lives out of a shared Christian faith tradition which recognizes and respects the dignity of all persons and creation. We act for justice and peace in our church and world. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint, says the prophet Habakkuk. This year, we celebrate 20 years of a vision pressing on to fulfillment. Recently, Seattle University students asked me, "Do you ever feel hopeless in the work of justice?" My response to them was, "I can get discouraged, but there is never a single day I feel hopeless." Hope is believing in spite of the evidence and watching the evidence change. Hope is our search for meaning in which we find community. We have hope at IPJC when Diane, a woman who is homeless in Mount Vernon, speaks her truth to the city council and tells us, quote, "The first day of the Justice Circle was a new birth for me." We have hope when Jane says the women's convocation made it possible for her to remain in the church. We have hope when our Office of Five has collaborated and succeeded in changing the corporate behavior of top Fortune 500 companies. We have hope when young people like Phil tell us that his life was changed because of the experience of our urban plunge, and we witness his life work these many years later. We are ever hopeful that we can build relationships in spite of impasse, ideology, or ideas different from ours. IPJC was born of a vision and built by collaboration with you, our partners. At the heart of this ministry is building relationships and community out of which we address the critical issues of our time. rooted in a spirituality of justice. It is our hope to nurture a mystical sensibility and support a prophetic stance as we together contemplate our call to action. In the midst of global tragedies and global warming, we embrace an integral optimism described by Bert Parley as driving toward high expectations and surrender to mystery. Being unreasonable without being unrealistic characterizes the inspirational optimist. Surrender enables us to enter into a deeper consciousness, to enter into the darkness of holy mystery that will lead us to radical freedom. In freedom, we can give our all for the common good. In her book, Radical Amazement, Judy Cannato says, "Mystery invites us to live with wisdom, to know when to stand firm and when to take flying leaps. Mystery asks us to live in the unknown with faith, and to live in the uncertain with hope, trusting in the revelation of a deeper knowing, and certainty that manifests love." What is your vision for a transformed Earth community? How could we collaborate to make a difference in the transformation of our church and world? If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. We are ready to step into the next decade, convinced and confident that our God has brought us to this moment. With you, we are prepared to speak truth to power with respect and persistence. Our programs are strong, vibrant, and diverse. Our reach is global and our foundation solid. This year, we will hold our first Latina conference in Spanish, our first interfaith women's conference, our first nationwide live junior high webinar on human trafficking. In partnership, we promote change from the bottom up, foster new economic models, and with you, co-create a new story in our church. Our community and ministry are growing, and we need every willing partner on this journey to justice. It is a time to be bold, courageous, and committed. We are stepping into uncharted territory in these unprecedented times. In freedom, like Jesus, we shed the old paradigms when we embrace immigrants and interfaith dialogue, practice and preach peace, protect our global commons, create an inclusive church, and pursue justice and reconciliation. In this issue of A Matter of Spirit, we celebrate 20 years of building community and creating change. It has been a blessed time of fashioning, pursuing, and realizing dreams for a new world that is on her way. Like Habakkuk, we are calling on God, writing down the vision, and keeping vigilant watch for the word and the ways of God that will break through the walls of oppression. We have just begun to tap the potential of our dreams, which can only be fulfilled in communion with all who believe nothing is impossible with God. Jack Kornfield says, "After the ecstasy, the laundry." After the ecstasy, celebrating our 20th anniversary, the laundry, that is, entering into the long-haul commitment to be faithful to the work of justice. Together, we go forth to build community grounded in a biblical vision of shalom that presses on to fulfillment and will not disappoint.
Systemic Change Through Personal Transformation by Vince Herberholt. Vince Herberholt is a volunteer staff member at St. Joseph Parish in Seattle and serves on the editorial board of AMOS. When I think about the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center's commitment to change, I am aware that it is not only about systemic change, but also the transformation of people. First and foremost, IPJC's educational programs change people, heart, worldview, and commitment to justice. These people, in turn, change the world. I know this from seeing how people are changed, inspired, and empowered by women's convocations, justice cafes, presentations by national speakers, a workshop or parish retreat led by IPJC staff, or a copy of A Matter of Spirit. I also know this from personal experience. I feel a little uncomfortable writing about personal transformation because somehow it suggests that I am completely transformed. I can definitely say that I am on a different path than I was before. My involvement with IPJC was one of the catalysts that got me going in that direction. I should start by telling you about myself. I am a 59-year-old white male who grew up in a middle-class family. I was baptized Catholic at birth and attended Catholic school through 8th grade and Jesuit colleges. I have had just about every privilege and opportunity: a fairly functional family, a good education, lifetime employment, good friends, a loving partner, healthy children, good health, an association with a supportive faith community, and a generous pension that has allowed me to retire early. However, even with all these things, I have a longing in my heart for God, and more importantly, a longing to use these privileges and gifts for the benefit of others. Journey to Justice. I can't exactly say why or how that longing came into my life, but it has led me to several experiences and an association with IPJC that has changed my life. In 2004, a couple of years before I retired, I signed up for a class in the parish called Just Faith. It was billed as a 31-week educational and faith experience focused on Catholic social teaching. Just Faith provided that and more. Coupled with spiritual exercises in everyday life and spiritual direction the following year, it was the impetus for rethinking and retooling my life. For many years, IPJC has facilitated the Journey to Justice Day for Just Faith participants, connecting them with social justice organizations in the Archdiocese. IPJC's workshops are often the doorway to more time-intensive Just Faith programs. My second encounter with IPJC came in November 2006, when I participated in my first IPJC-sponsored presentation delivered by Megan McKenna. I remember walking into a room full of women and being asked a welcoming why I had come. There were literally only a handful of men in a room full of over 200 women who had come to hear this well-loved theologian and storyteller. To be honest, I had come partly at the encouragement of my wife, but what I found and what transformed me was Megan's sensitivity to God's creation. It felt surprisingly good to be a member of a group that was characterized as a few good men in a room full of women. It was also clear to me that this experience would not have happened without IPJC. My next encounter came in September 2009, when as a member of the Social Justice Commission at St. Joseph Parish in Seattle, I worked with Sister Linda Haydock to plan and present a social justice retreat for parish leadership. I still remember the group resonating with Sister Linda's explanation of the 2 feet of justice, recognizing how we could multiply our efforts in support of the poor by working for systemic change. What a simple change, imagined by the soles of 2 shoes, one for charity and one for social justice. I also remember our work to map our intentions for our commission mission statement using the imposing image of our parish church. This image led to a statement of the heart that is still in use today. We will engage every parish member in a social justice learning and action. We hope and pray that engagement will lead to conversion in Christ and will allow our community to respond with compassion and justice to those most in need. Our work with IPJC was all about our own personal conversion, followed by our commitment to justice work. In the winter of 2009, I joined the editorial board of Amos. God must have had another intention in mind when God called me to this task, because I am clearly not a great writer or editor. I believe I am there to comment as an average reader and someone who is involved in justice work. Whatever my contribution, what I receive is much more. During the time I have served, we have published 9 issues ranging from refugees to dialogue and public discourse. Each issue has changed me and made me more aware where I stand and how I contribute to these matters of the Spirit. So how do I know that IPJC is about personal transformation? In the 5 years I have been involved with IPJC, I retired from my work, completed a graduate degree in pastoral studies, made practical commitments to justice work, and became a volunteer staff member at my parish. This is not something I could do on my own. It's basically God's call, supported by the transforming work of IPJC.
Transforming Corporations for the Common Good by Susan Francois, CSJP. Susan Francois is a sister of St. Joseph of Peace and editor of A Matter of Spirit. Those of us who are committed to creating a more just world have our work cut out for us. We know, for example, that 33 million people live with HIV/AIDS, yet millions do not have access to treatment. We know that climate change not only will affect future generations, but already impacts the poor and vulnerable. Lastly, we know that the global marketplace requires great vigilance to ensure fair wages and human rights for all. In our increasingly global reality, each of us is intimately connected to these and other justice issues through our economic lives and consumer choices. And yet, it might seem that our actions pale in comparison to the breadth and depth of the problems at hand. Enter a movement of faith-based shareholders who believe Clarissa Pinkola Estes when she tells a young friend, quote, "Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach." 40 years ago, faith-based investors looked upon the seemingly immovable system of apartheid and stretched out to mend the part within their reach using their combined shares in General Motors. The first religious shareholder resolution, filed in 1971, called on GM to divest of its operations in South Africa. Desmond Tutu has said that shareholders were one of the main reasons apartheid finally ended in 1994. The work of corporate transformation for the common good began at the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center in 1994 with the founding of the Northwest Coalition for Responsible Investment, or Northwest CRI. The members, religious communities, and healthcare systems used their rights as shareholders to dialogue with companies about corporate policies and practices. Northwest CRI is a voting member of the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility, ICCR, an international coalition of nearly 300 Catholic, Jewish, and Protestant institutional investors, founded in 1971. What does the work of corporate change look like? 6 a.m. conference calls, mounds of research and paperwork, and hundreds of dialogues and resolutions with 108 corporations over the past 17 years are par for the course. There are no instant solutions. It takes persistence and faithfulness to the process to create change. HIV/AIDS. The first case of AIDS was reported in the United States 30 years ago this June. In developing countries, treatment advances have substantially reduced AIDS-related mortality and extended lives. Yet, millions in the developing world do not have access to life-saving treatment. Northwest Cry collaborates with others to change this reality. Since 2004, Northwest Cry has led the dialogue with Gilead Sciences, a small biotech company that has provided HIV treatment to more than 700,000 patients in the developing world. Their tiered pricing system provides discounts in low- and middle-income countries. The company has also established partnerships to produce and distribute low-cost, generic versions of their medicines. In the last year, the number of patients receiving access to HIV/AIDS drugs increased from 1.2 million to 5.2 million. "We can't take the credit," says Northwest Cry coordinator Sister Judy Byron, "but I personally don't think advances like generics and fixed combination doses would have happened without the work of faith-based shareholders." Echo Imagination. Northwest Cry and collaborators used their rights as shareholders in General Electric to file what appeared to be a quixotic resolution at the company's 2002 annual meeting. Against the odds, the resolution asking GE to monitor and reduce its greenhouse gas emissions was supported by an astounding 23% of shareholders. This obscure coalition of Catholic nuns forced executives to take a second look. They discovered that if the company made energy efficiency part of its core mission, they would improve not only their reputation, but profits. The result was the Echo Imagination Initiative. GE has reduced its emissions by 22%, reduced water consumption by 30%, and made $18 billion in the process. A Better Life. Sam Walton, founder of Walmart, once said, "If we work together, we'll lower the cost of living for everyone. We'll give the world an opportunity to see what it's like to save and have a better life." Faith-based investors have worked with Walmart since 1991 to help ensure that this vision extends not only to consumers of their low-priced goods, but also to its store employees, workers globally, and the environment. Northwest Cry collaborates with ICCR in ongoing engagement with Walmart, including 4 face-to-face meetings a year to dialogue on wages, health benefits, supply chain and purchasing, and sustainability. "Instead of boycotting them, we work with them," said Sister Judy. "Given their power as the top Fortune 500 company by revenue and world's largest retailer and grocer, we choose to sit down at the table to influence their policies." The company's environmental goals include 100% renewable energy, zero waste, and sustainable products. They are also developing a supplier training process to address fair wages and safe working environments in factories. After 6 years of shareholder resolutions by more than 140 co-filers and 10 dialogues, Chevron finally agreed in 2010 to develop a comprehensive, transparent, and verifiable human rights policy. The company operates in more than 120 countries, many of which consistently violate basic human rights. "We value our collaboration," said Sylvia Garijo, Chevron's manager of global issues and policy, in an email to lead filers, the Wisconsin Jesuits. "We took your guidance to produce a policy that makes sense for our business," she said. "Shareholders will continue to work with the company to integrate this policy into the corporate culture and monitor its implementation on the ground. Your voice matters. Join in the work to transform corporate policies and practices. Exercise your power as a consumer to promote the common good. If you have a pension fund, 401k, or own stock in a company, vote your proxies. Learn more at www.ipjc.org.
Journey of Discovery, Northwest Catholic Women's Convocations, by Maggie Kilbourne Brook. Maggie Kilbourne Brook served on the ritual planning team for the Northwest Women's Convocations. The four women's convocations mirror my spiritual journey. At the first convocation, we eagerly gathered to celebrate our connection to the Catholic Church in the Pacific Northwest. Rooted in tradition, yet evolving in response to our time. We praised God, acknowledged brokenness and injustice in our communities, and prayed for healing. Convocation participants shared their hunger for church that was authentic and life-giving. Women went back to their communities and shared stories with others, and the stories lived on, giving hope from Montana to Alaska. The powerful connections from that first convocation led to requests for a second, third, and fourth convocation. God's grace and creativity and hundreds of volunteer hands transformed meeting halls into sacred spaces where we came together and shared the stories of God. We sang, prayed, and were nourished by dance, scripture, and speakers who inspired us to be faithful and strong as we faced troubles growing in our church, our communities, and our families. We drew strength from elements sacred to the Pacific Northwest and our Catholic heritage, water and the healing river, holy fire that strengthens our hearts, Miriam, courageous sister of Moses, the creation story, our sacred earth, Mary, giver of radical hope, the Holy Spirit that makes all things new again, even as our old world crumbles. The convocations grew, and there were signs of hope. Mothers brought daughters. Women brought sisters and grandmothers. Young women came. My 86-year-old mother in Montana never made it to a convocation, but she prayed for us. God stirred hearts and invited us to go deeper. We were many women and a few good men who came with our faith and our questions. We shared our joy and pain, acknowledged our vulnerability, and were renewed. We are God's people, The Holy Spirit is alive and among us now, making all things new. Gather the Women by Barbara Mulvey Little. Barbara Mulvey Little is a Seattle-based freelance writer, editor, and spiritual director. Since 1997, four Northwest Catholic Women's Convocations have gathered more than 12,000 women to experience and create prayer and ritual, develop interfaith networks, and participate in action for social and ecclesial change. The critical mass for the convocations came from another IPJC program, Weavers, or Women's Experience and Voice Expressed in Ritual and Story. Created in 1994, Weavers brought together thousands of women to provide opportunities for parish leadership development and a place for women to affirm their spirituality and gifts and to share stories, hopes, and challenges. Lisa Benchite of Hayden Lake, Idaho, attended the second convocation in 2001 with other women from St. Pius Church in Coeur d'Alene, CDA. They consequently began a Weavers group that Lisa points to as a catalyst for change in her parish. Through solidarity and support, some CDA Weavers attained advanced theological degrees, preached, and now facilitate adult education classes. Given that many Catholic women experience the pain of invisibility and silence, Lisa sees this as quite a victory. She believes that Weavers and the convocations are a source of radical hope. Maria Fleming, a Portland, Oregon high school teacher and theologian, has attended all four convocations. The convocations support her with images of feminine leadership to show to her daughter, who was nearly born at the first convocation. In these convocations, there is a great diversity of clearly feminine images, Maria said. That is really empowering to me as a mom. The convocations are reassurance that there is a space for my daughter. I need that reassurance and space too. The convocation is a lifeline that allows me to stay in the church in a really authentic way.
Stories of Strength, Circles of Change by Giselle Carcamo. Giselle Carcamo is Justice for Women Coordinator at IPJC. A transformative process is about to start. Women who are migrant workers, homeless, survivors of domestic violence, immigrants, and/or working low-wage jobs are joining others across the economic spectrum to form women's justice circles. Over the next 8 weeks, they will identify social injustices in their community, choose one, and design a plan for action. They will build confidence, discover collective power, and connect to the larger society. This process will empower them to create a more promising environment for their children and bring about systemic change. At first, there is hesitation and a bit of nervousness, For women who face oppression on a daily basis, it is particularly difficult to trust. For those who are undocumented, even the fact that the group will meet at a particular place and time is potentially risky in itself. But because of their tireless resilience and genuine desire to improve their lives, these persistent women are willing to try. Facilitators are eager to start and aware they need to be attuned to the group's rhythm. Undeniably, this is a new journey for all. As the creation of a safe space unfolds, participants get acquainted and begin to recognize that silence does not protect them and their voices will be respected. They slowly start to speak their truth to others. Stories are held in heartfelt conversations in which narratives are woven and struggles are validated. Lessons of humility, faithfulness, courage, and strength are discovered. The group creates a space where vulnerability to listening meets courage to voice. In the next meeting, participants are more open to give and receive and start building relationships. Quote, "The circle is a relaxed atmosphere, open for sharing ideas and learning the perspectives of the other women and issues I did not think of before." Close quote. They discover the commonalities in their differences and the differences in their commonalities. Women are now aware of their strengths and no longer see themselves as isolated souls, but as a community. Participants reflect on their sources of power and recognize the great influence of their mothers, grandmothers, and other powerful women. They begin to see themselves as powerful agents of change. Quote, "The circle is a place for empowerment, leadership, and warmth. It's so motivating to be in the presence of diverse, strong, and passionate women." Close quote. Each woman's voicing and naming meet the group's listening and understanding. Group members name what has been done to them, their relations, and communities. When these everyday leaders begin believing in their inner power, ability to act, and the possibility of change, they decolonize themselves. The circle fosters members' ability to claim their power from within, from the strengths gained in daily survival, and from sharing innumerable lessons of resistance. The group is now ready to define what is important to them, choose a justice issue, and start to plan their action. As they progress, they learn to understand the importance of being strategic in framing their issue and navigating powerful institutions. As they get closer to acting for social justice, they most often find they are experiencing some hesitation about getting involved in a social change process and may feel skeptical about their chances of actually effecting change. More inspirational stories are shared. Circle participants find themselves in the stories of others. The strength to continue emerges from bearing witness to the suffering of others. Hope is reinforced by collaborative power. As the group moves forward in its action, participants continue to reflect upon their time together and realize how each can be a source of inspiration for the others. Quote, "The women demonstrated that together we can make a difference. We do care about ending poverty and care about others beyond our neighborhoods." Close quote. Participants build alliances with other groups addressing their social justice issue. Their plan for action is now clear to everyone, and the group takes action. Afterward, they celebrate, evaluate the process, reflect on the circle's highlights, and decide how each will continue the work begun by the circle. Quote, "It was wonderful to see ourselves come together as a group, grow in confidence, and achieve our goal. I learned to stay focused and not give up in the process." Close quote. Since 2001, the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center has organized over 175 circles in more than 40 cities. Our hope is to continue to build a stronger and more inclusive community, to amplify the voice of underprivileged women, and to fortify their organizing capacity. We feel deeply honored to witness such a transformative experience that will certainly continue to transform lives. The journey continues. A just world is on her way. Some highlights from the 175 circles: a media campaign on urban Native American homelessness, a teen dating violence prevention program, a transit stroller policy changed. Radio PSA aired on barriers to safe, affordable housing, and financial management skill classes. For Circle stories, visit www.ipjc.org.
I am because we are. IPJC volunteers and supporters. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "One of the sayings in our country is Ubuntu. We think of ourselves far too frequently as individuals, separated from one another, whereas you are connected, and what you do affects the whole world." The Zulu word Ubuntu roughly translates as "I am because we are." As we celebrate 20 years, we recognize that IPJC is every person who has ever responded to a legislative action alert, attended an event, written a check, or stuffed an envelope. Together, we build community and create change. We spoke with several people about their collaboration with IPJC. Margie Eames said, "I have been able to integrate my high school students with IPJC programs, such as the Urban Plunge, Justice Circles, and Church Advocacy Day. Last year, we won second place in the Just Video Contest. As part of IPJC, I feel I teach kids to be global citizens. IPJC is a model of networking, collaborating, and creating God's kingdom." Louise Dumont, CSJP, said, "My basic conviction is that retirement is not a time to do nothing. My religious community was one of the original sponsors of IPJC. We had given it birth, so it seemed to be a logical place to get involved. The religious in the Northwest have collaborated wonderfully ever since sister formation. I firmly believe that collaboration has been good not only for us, but for the rest of the country, even to see how that is possible." Pat Higgins said, "IPJC gives me clarity on issues and puts me in touch with the right group of people with whom to be working. It brings up sides of issues that I would otherwise not have thought about. I think IPJC is a wonderfully representative organization of the Catholic Church and Christianity as a whole, because it's visionary, active, risk-taking, pushes boundaries, and explores the margins." Patty Lienweber said, "My husband Dave and I worked for the music for the women's convocations. We've recorded two albums in our basement, one in the church and the fourth I was in the choir. One of my most memorable moments is all that time we spent to arrange and record music, and getting to know the women who came to our basement. Now, I come to IPJC each week and do whatever needs to be done." Ralph Maughan said, "I try to fix things that are broken around the IPJC offices, cut back bushes and trees, keep the roof clean. Monetarily, my wife Kate and I support IPJC. I think it's a great example of if just everybody did a little bit, it will all get done. Nobody has to do everything." Diane McQuiston said, "When I turned 50, I had a birthday party and asked that all the gifts be donations to IPJC. Linda helped me plan the party. It was a really special time. IPJC is always reminding me to stand up for my beliefs and be a person of integrity, justice, and mercy. Nothing is ever too small. Everything matters. Cordy Stanton said, IPJC has said to me and other young people that your opinion, your perspective, matters. IPJC helps me to get in the habit of thinking about what really matters and what I can do to help in a way that will be meaningful in the long run for the community. Mary Winter said, I have some physical limitations, but I come and do mailings when I can. IPJC has also been on my monthly list for giving, because that way, even though I can't be there as a physical presence running around and doing stuff, I figure my little dollars are out there doing what my body can't.
Seeds of the Future by Christine Cruz Gao. Christine Cruz Gao is a Filipina-American young adult writer who first connected with IPJC through the Urban Plunge. 16 years have passed since I first connected with the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center in high school, a profound experience that awakened my heart to a deeper, justice-based spirituality. IPJC mentors and empowers young adults and has expanded its young adult programming to suit their evolving needs. Rooted in prayerful reflection and community, programs include immersions, conferences, book groups, parenting groups, and now justice cafes. Immersions. The Urban Plunge, a city-based immersion into poverty, changed my life and many others. Courtney Goodhart, a 1994 participant, still remembers scraping grime off shower ceilings in a downtown shelter and being shut out of public restrooms. Hearing stories shared by homeless folks, she realized how easily her own struggling family could have become homeless. After the plunge, Courtney continued to volunteer, later spending 2 years in East Africa doing service work. Now in graduate school, she researches how homelessness and poverty are portrayed in the media. In my Jesuit high school, they drilled into us the idea of men and women for others, said Courtney. Seeing our leaders and the generous people who worked in the service projects, the plunge finally gave me true models of men and women for others. I saw for the first time a lived Christian faith, and it forever changed the course of my life. Parenting for Peace and Justice. After giving birth to her first child, Lynn Herrink, a former Urban Plunge leader, collaborated with IPJC to create Parenting for Peace and Justice, PPJ. Parents meet monthly to discuss how to integrate issues of justice with parenting. The first PPJ group started by Lynn continues to meet after 5 years together. According to Lynn, this community not only guides her parenting choices, it also strengthens her work teaching English to immigrant and refugee children. As a white middle-class woman, I am challenged to respond creatively while also honoring and respecting immigrants' experience. The mindset I learned through many years with IPJC helps me tremendously in thinking about how I can serve in the best way possible. Through the years, I have witnessed my plunge companions find jobs as justice organizers, marry, and have children, a miraculous reminder of how meaningful relationships develop in the fertile soil of ritual, prayer, and community. Not satisfied merely with answers, many young adults seek a space to explore how spirituality interacts with the injustices of our world. For myself and many others, IPJC continues to provide that space. Local and Global Connections. Justice cafes gather young adults to discuss issues of global concern. Meeting other young adults who have passion for social change has helped me see that I am not alone in this questioning and action process, says Justice Cafe host and former Plunge participant Hilda Gao. Whether by writing a letter to our state legislature about human trafficking or just talking with other young adults on justice issues, I have learned that it is my duty as a Catholic and as an American to speak out against injustice. IPJC's influence has spread beyond the Northwest, using the Internet to build and connect communities in Oakland, Florida, New Jersey, even all the way to Africa. Christian and Muslim young adults in Jos, Nigeria, are using the Justice Cafe process to promote interfaith dialogue in a region suffering from sectarian violence. Justice Cafe has helped to heal the wound of division, says Cafe host Godwin Okoko. Before, young people viewed each other as enemies on account of religious or ethnic differences, but through the Justice Cafe, some of them realize that they are all created by one Creator, whether they call Him God or Allah.
Reflection Process: Sharing Our Visions. Invite a small group for contemplation and conversation about community, collaboration, and change. Have pens and paper available for each participant and one envelope. Music. Select a song such as Canticle of the Turning or God Has Chosen Me. Read aloud or listen to The Vision Presses On to Fulfillment by Linda Haydock, SNJM. This is the first article in this issue of Matter of Spirit. Take time to reflect on your personal vision for a transformed Earth community. After the quiet, I invite you to write down your vision. In a few minutes, we will share our visions, and those who wish may place them in the envelope to be sent to IPJC. IPJC will post highlights of the visions on their website. Sharing our visions is a first step towards collaboration for transformation. All who wish to share their vision may do so now and place it in the envelope. Closing prayer. Loving and compassionate God, we lift our hopes and dreams to you this day. Inspire and strengthen us on the long journey to justice. Help us to be faithful to the vision that presses on to fulfillment and will not disappoint.
Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center Pages. Celebrating 20 years, collaborating for the next 20. Often people ask us, how can we support the ministries of women and men religious today? You support us when you participate, promote, and partner with your resources and time to make our shared vision yours and ours for repair of our world and renewal of our church possible. Today, we ask you to pray and discern about how you can invest in the communal work of IPJC. Why I Invest and Participate in IPJC by Judy Piggott. My support for the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center comes from thinking about safety, hope, a sustainable environment, and the changes in systems that must come about in our world for these to be assured. We all need a reason to wake up in the morning. We need the hope that comes from having a future we believe we want to live to see. If we do not change entrenched policies and attitudes, then all of what we do to ameliorate lack of housing, a surfeit of domestic abuse, inadequate education, inaccessible health care, amounts to little more than Band-Aids. I support IPJC because through their work, all of my core beliefs are addressed. I admire the integrity, ingenuity, and focus of those whose efforts result in programs, actions, connections, and convocations. While working within the Catholic Church, the work to change and challenge systems continues with respect. There is power in the collaborative efforts of shareholder activism, justice circles, young parent groups, and justice cafes that now exist worldwide. I believe that our efforts, out of efforts like these organized by IPJC, the policy shifts will come. As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. From the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center, I get doses of optimism. Thanks, Judy, for your faithful witness. Why I Invest and Participate in IPJC by Brian Mack. In a society that constantly ignores the widening injustices we face, IPJC helps keep me focused on issues most pressing in our community and world. IPJC is a voice of richness and depth that prompts me towards higher levels of awareness and involvement. IPJC helps to nurture my faith as I seek to bring justice to our world. Brian was an IPJC Urban Plunge leader as a Jesuit volunteer in 1997. Thanks, Brian, for contributing and participating ever since. Investing in Peace and Justice through contributions. Any donation of any size, any time, makes peace and justice possible. Through a gift of stock. A transfer of stock is often a good way for those with investments to share resources for the common good. Investing through gifts in celebration or memorial. This is an opportunity to honor a person with a special tribute or to remember someone at the time of death. Investing through a matching gift. Many companies match employee contributions. Let us know if your gift could be matched. Investing in peace and justice through the United Way. Write in Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center on your United Way pledge card. Investing through a charitable trust. A trust provides an annual amount for the ministry over a period of time. It also provides an income tax deduction. Investing in peace and justice through bequests. When a will is written, a bequest to IPJC can be included. And investing in peace and justice through a pledge. This enables people to make a larger commitment paid over time. Interfaith Women's Conference, March 13, 2011, Common Ground, Common Good, at Seattle University, Campion Hall, from 1:30 to 6 p.m., with Fatima Salih, Mary Boys, SNJM, Ph.D., and Rabbi Luth Langer, Ph.D. Common Ground. We will consider the common ground of women's spirituality and leadership within Islamic, Christian, and Jewish traditions. Common good, the call and role of women in creating interfaith dialogue and peace in our world. This event is sponsored by the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center and co-sponsored by Seattle University's School of Theology and Ministry. From the Institute of Communal Contemplation and Dialogue, host a coffee and tea contemplation party. Go to www.engagingimpasse.org or contact IPJC for more details. Save these dates. Happy 20th anniversary, IPJC. The Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center will celebrate its 20th anniversary on April 12th. Catholic Advocacy Days 2011. To register, contact IPJC by January 31st. Email ipjc@ipjc.org or call 206-223-1138. Faith and Advocacy. Catholic Advocacy Day will be held in Seattle and Olympia on Thursday, March 24th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., leaving Seattle and busing to Olympia and returning. All parish members and staff, parish leadership, and Catholic service and justice organizations are invited to join us to ensure that the gospel message to care for our brothers and sisters is heard loud and clear in Olympia. Travel to the state capital for our program and legislative briefing before scheduled appointments with your legislators. Two free chartered buses for registered participants from Seattle and Tacoma. Catholic Advocacy Day is sponsored by the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center, the Washington State Catholic Conference, Catholic Community Services, the Archdiocese of Seattle, and the Pierce County Deanery. Eastern Washington Catholic Advocacy Day will be held on Saturday, February 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 25 West 5th Avenue in Spokane. $15 includes lunch. Register by January 28th. Contact Scott Cooper. Email scooper@ccsspokane.org. 509-358-4273. IPJC will be hosting another Justice Movie Night, The Dark Side of Chocolate. Join us for a social justice film discussion and refreshments on February 2nd, 2011, from 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Catherine Parish, Seattle, 814 Northeast 85th Street, in the church basement. Stations of the Cross with all of creation. These stations provide an opportunity to reflect on Jesus' journey and the suffering of people and earth today. Each station includes scripture, stories of the cross in creation, and reflection questions. The cost is $2 per copy, and quantity discounts are available. To order, call 206-223-1138 or email ipjc@ipjc.org.
A Matter of Spirit is a publication of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. Our editorial board for this issue was Judy Byron, OP, Gretchen Gundrum, PhD, Linda Haydock, SNJM, Vince Herberholt, Pat Higgins, Deacon Bob Huber, Maria Ochoa, and Beth Taylor, CSJP. Our editor is Susan Francois, CSJP, and layout of the print version was done by Michael Schwindeller. IPJC is sponsored by the Adrian Dominican Sisters, Oregon Province Jesuits, Sisters of the Holy Names of Jesus and Mary, U.S. Ontario Province, Sisters of Providence, Mother Joseph Province, Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia, Sisters of St. Joseph of Peace, and Tacoma Dominicans. Our affiliate communities are the Benedictine Sisters of Cottonwood, Idaho, the Benedictine Sisters of Lacey, the Benedictine Sisters of Mount Angel, the Religious of the Sacred Heart, Sinsinawa Dominicans, Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet, Sisters of St. Mary of Oregon, and Ursuline Sisters of the Roman Union. Our readers for this audio version of A Matter of Spirit were Michael Schwindeller, Susan Francois, Pat Daly, and Patty Lean Weber. Learn more by visiting our website, www.ipjc.org, or call 206-223-1138.